can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
This is Talk with John here on Republic Broadcasting, 3 to 5 Mountain, 4 to 6 Central. You can tune in and join me right here. Folks, after the first break, if you want to call in and ask John a few questions, feel free to do so. I'll give out the phone numbers after the next break. But a great way to interact with me during the show, to ask guests questions or to make fun of me or whatever the case may be. Phone number for me, well, actually, the best way to reach out to do that is over Twitter. My Twitter handle is TalkWithJohn1. That's the short spelling of John. So TalkWithJohn1. That's the best way to interact with me. Now, joining me is John Knox. He is with Firefighters for Freedom. But before we go to him, I do want to get this hour off to a proper start. It is the November 19th, 2022. I want to give out my show prayer. I need to bow your head, close your eyes. But this is the prayer of my heart when it comes to doing my show. I hope my show is a gift back to my forefathers, the founding fathers. May it be an acceptable token to our Father above. Then, to when it comes to the show mantra, this is it. Where there is liberty, there is the Spirit of Christ. Where the Spirit of Christ is, there will be liberty. And the greater the Spirit of Christ, the greater liberty will be. In the first hour, we talked to a guest about JFK and his book on the murder of the Kennedy family. And then if the more we know, the more ability do we have to be free. Now, let's go to what's going on in our country currently. And John Knox of LA Firefighter or Firefighters for Freedom. So, John Knox, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So, yesterday I reached out to you and said, "Hey, would you mind joining me?" You'd be like, "You're happy to?" "I'm happy to." And you were about to start going in and filling me what's happened. I said, "Hey, I want to talk to you. We last talked at the end of August. See if there's been any updates. Obviously, there's been an election, and you were about to start talking to me about it." And I said, "Hold on. Even though I want to know, and I've been really looking forward to finding out, I'm like, I want that raw reaction that the audience can share with me at the same time of what may have happened or may not have happened." So John, how are you doing, brother?
I'm good. Just enjoying life and, you know, understanding that it's definitely a journey. Yes. Yeah, so for people who don't know our backstory, really, it's I've been a firefighter for the city of Los Angeles, firefighter paramedic for 22 years. And back in, boy, it's been going on a while now, we're 2022 right now, so 21. Back in 2021, they came out with the mandates that you had to be vaccinated or you would be terminated in the city of Los Angeles as an employee, and specifically for the fire department as well. So we got a group of individuals together, created Firefighters for Freedom. We're a nonprofit organization. And we fought back. We've been fighting back. We've had several against the city of Los Angeles, against the unconstitutionality of mandates and the faulty science. And so that's gone through multiple iterations, of course, in the courts, and especially here in Los Angeles, it's very difficult to get things moving. And so we've had a couple different appearances in court. We had a very biased judge who promised that he would let the case be heard, and every single time he shut it down and then finally denied us, saying that we had no grounds whatsoever. We had no standing to even have a case, which is
how do you have
ridiculous.
No standing?
That's the question I've asked and the attorneys have asked. And so kind of where we're sitting right now is we're in the appeals court. So we filed, I believe it was last month, maybe we're in November. So end of September, I think it was, we filed with the appellate court, and we're just waiting to get a date on that, which will probably come, I would think, with the holidays right now, probably after the first of the year, we should get a date sometime, I would think, for spring of next year to hear the case in the appellate court. It might come sooner, but yeah, it's, I mean, it's ridiculous. In the state of California, I mean, to say you have no standing is ridiculous. We have, it's very easy to have standing in this, but, you know, based on constitutionality issues and everything you look at over COVID and mandates and vaccines and forcing people and health issues and all those other things, to say that we don't have standing is ridiculous. So
sounds like a judge that is totally in somebody's pocket on the left and wants to, it makes me wonder if his spouse happens to work for like Pfizer or Moderna or something like that, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just spitballing. I'm not making a prediction or an actual statement. Like I said, makes me wonder, right?
Yeah.
How can, I don't see how a California resident who's been terminated for or has been removed from their job. So let's actually talk about that process a little bit more. Sure. So back in, I want to say it was early 2021, you guys, the mandate started rolling out mid, I want to say it was somewhere in the neighborhood of around August or so of 2021, when you were told that you were going to lose your job if you didn't get it done. You still went ahead and continued to work. You were working long hours, loving your job, happy to be there. And then certain people who didn't take the shot weren't forced out of their jobs, and others like you were. So how has that continued to play out? Is there now everybody that has not taken the shot has been moved out? Are there some people that have been let back in? There's been some decisions around the U.S. where different judges, and I want to say there was one even done in New York that said you can't force, I want to say it was over the New York Police Department, that they could not force their people to get vaccinations. In fact, those that had been, you know, let go or removed from their job were allowed to get joined back to the force, as well as they were owed back pay. So there's a lot of decisions that are coming down the pike. Your thoughts to that and how that ties to you?
Yeah, so I was the mandate came out in the end of August last year. And then that's when we really started pushing back and created what we created. And then moving forward, by December 1st, I was put off duty leave with no pay. So I'm still employed by the city of Los Angeles, but I haven't been at work. Well, December 1st, it's going to be a year, and I haven't had a paycheck in a year. So, and again, that violates California Supreme Court ruling that states that I have a property right to my job as a first responder. And there's a whole due process that's supposed to go through there, and they're supposed to pay me until they terminate me. But they violated that as well. So, it's interesting too, because I won't sign an exemption, whether religious or medical. Not that I am against that, from the standpoint that I am a Christian and I believe in God and have my belief system. But my rights are enshrined by the Constitution, you know, the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, and they're given to me by God. And I don't need an exemption to file, you know, to say that just because of what I believe. Also, in the state of California, we have our Constitution is the strongest out of all 50 states. So we have massive privacy rights here. And so for them to ask me vaccine status and all these other things violates my privacy issues as well. You know, so we're standing on that fact. So the fact that I haven't signed a religious exemption, because I knew that those are a trap and they have the ability to pull those at any time and or deny them, I felt that I would stand on the privacy issue. So we had 145 individuals. Well, actually, no, let me take that back. We had 145 people that were put off originally. And then we have about 400 people, 420, I think it is, that have filed for religious exemptions and medical exemptions, and they've all been denied. Yet they are still at work, working, and they're no different than I am. They put in an appeal, but the fire chief and the city haven't done anything with the appeals. So, you know, they're working without an exemption at this point, no different than myself. But because I haven't signed a piece of paper requesting the exemption that they're going to deny, they put me off with no pay for the past year. And so then you mentioned that New York, that was the New York Fire Department. They filed suit and they won based on their exemptions. And the judge said, you know, you can't put these people off. You have to give them back pay. You put them back to work. That's unconstitutional what you did. And so that's supposed to happen, but it hasn't, because the city has appealed it. And instead of putting them back to work and paying them their back pay while that goes through, they're going to keep them off and still not pay them. So they're, you know, still being punitively damaged at this point, basically. You know, you're guilty until proven innocent in this scenario at this point. You know, it's sad that the court system is working the opposite way that it's supposed to.
I'm going to say this. When it comes to California, I'm not surprised, but it doesn't make it right.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me be clear on that one. It doesn't make it right. So, and forgive me. The reason why you chose not to fill out that form is an exemption form.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because it weakens your case? Is it because, you mentioned you have a First Amendment right to not even have to say, and under California law. But So I just wanted to touch base. What is your reasoning for not filling that out?
So I'm standing on the principle of my privacy rights, basically, at this point right now. We felt that exemptions were a trap. So when if I fill out that exemption and I'm asking for an exemption, right? That says that I believe that what you're doing is okay by mandating or forcing me to take this vaccine, but I'm requesting to opt out of that based on whether it's religious or medical. So I'm abdicating my sovereignty that was given to me by God. He says that I'm a free individual and I have the ability to make the choices over my body and do the things that I feel based on my religious beliefs are correct for myself. So when I sign that exemption, I'm giving that up because I'm agreeing, saying, yeah, you have the power over me to make those decisions for me, but I'm requesting that I'm exempt this time. And so, okay, they go, great. Let's just say that they do grant it. Okay, here you go. And then now some other variant comes down the pipe or whatever else they want. And they say, you know what? This is so much more dangerous. We're going to pull your exemption. And now you have to get this shot or take this pill or do whatever. You're abdicating your sovereignty when you're signing an exemption because you're giving up that right and you're agreeing that it's okay for them to dictate what they do to you. You're just asking to opt out of their system this time. And I don't agree with that 100%.
Well, thank you for taking that stance, I'm going to say. Thank you for taking that stance because I concur with you. That's not their place.
No.
They do not have, they should not, and that is, I wish more people had the principal statement of, but it's really difficult. It's really difficult to take that stance, but I wish more people would take that principal statement of, no, this is not your, you do not have authority over what I ingest or take into my body by force. And to me, it's like, especially when it comes to the left, it's one of the most obvious things ever. If you claim, if a woman can claim my body, my choice, mm-hmm. for removing a natural ongoing thing that's happened since we started separating cells as amoebas, right? Then how in the world can they make that claim that it's not your body, your choice?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and so to be able to stand on that, I mean, as a Christian, you have free will, free agency, right, to make the decisions that you do. God gives us that ability to make those choices, and he gives us that sovereignty of our own self, our body, our soul. And for you to freely give that up, well, I mean, that's a choice that you're going to make. And if you're asking for that exemption, you've already told them that it's okay and that, you know, you want to opt out of it this time. And again, now they have complete and control over you. I mean, look at it this way. You think you own your house. Let's say you pay it off, but you don't pay your property taxes. They're going to take your house. Same thing with your car. You don't register it and it's paid off. They're going to impound it. There's nothing on this planet that you own other than your body, your soul, and your mind. And the minute you abdicate your sovereignty and give that up and ask for an exemption out of their system, you've already lost. And so to me, I'm not going to do that. I will not give my free will over to someone else to make decisions for me, because then I become a slave.
So let me, I wasn't sure if I was hearing the music start up there or not. So let me ask you a real quick question.
Sure.
How many people are standing with you, and what are your attorney's thoughts even as of right now?
Well, there. So right now there's 16 of us left that didn't fill out exemptions that are standing on our right to privacy, on our sovereignty. Hear the music.
That's the music to the break. I was a little gun shy on it. We're a little quick on the trigger. So let's just talk with John.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I think you're crazy.
Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Talk with John. Right now, I'm with John Knox of Firefighters for Freedom. He's an LA firefighter, and he was sharing with us right now they are tied up in the legal battle. There are 16 fellow firefighters. They're hanging in and surviving as they go through standing up to the government and telling them, no way, you aren't going to make me take these shots. And I'm not going to file some exemption which allows you to have the right to say, oh, yeah, I guess you actually do say that we have the right over your body. So where are you and the 16 at?
So we're actually in the process right now of what they call Board of Rights, which is basically, if you think of a military tribunal, it's just like going to court, except you have a board of three chiefs and professional standards division and the city attorney. And basically, you have to go in and you plead your case. Basically, you call all your witnesses, do all of that stuff. And then at the end of it, they make a decision whether they're going to terminate you or they're going to keep you on. So we're in that process right now. We have, it's interesting because we had one individual who was terminated. We had another one who was returned to duty. And then we have another one right now that is going through that process. And you would think that when they returned the one to duty and said that he was not guilty, it would run the gamut of the other 16 individuals that are off duty right now. But the city doesn't look at it that way. nobody can seem to wrap their head around the, you know, the insanity that just continues to ensue. You know, people think that for the most part that COVID's over and that mandates are over and so on and so forth, and they're not.
Well, they must be fully staffed then and not have any staffing issues, right?
Oh, no, we're definitely not fully staffed, and we definitely have staffing issues. It's horrible.
Okay, let's get to Scott in Nevada before we and let him ask his question. And then on the other side of the break, we're going to get to Andy in Texas. Scott, what's on your mind?
Oh, hello there. You hear me okay?
We hear you great.
Oh, good. Okay, Mr. Knox, I got a question. In your complaints or your court filings, did you anybody raise the issue of the emergency use authorization aspect of these alleged vaccines?
Yeah, so there's issues with that. I'm in two separate cases. In one case, yes, it's been raised, and we're waiting to hear back on a decision on that. On the other case, it was not raised. It was raised the only thing that was brought in initially was the constitutionality, and then that would be brought up later in actual court, the issues with the emergency use authorization. But unfortunately, they just keep slamming the door and not letting us get into court. So we are just literally having the most insane time getting in front of a judge.
Okay, but you're in California court. I'm studying, preparing a case for a friend of mine. I'm not an attorney, but I can do this kind of stuff. The New Zealand High Court, they pulled this crap with their police, firefighters, and military. And most of the objections were religious-based. And the High Court threw all of it out. It said, we don't need to go there. The government has acknowledged that this alleged vaccine does not prevent the transmission or contracting COVID, so therefore it's a medical treatment, and under the New Zealand Constitution, okay, so they won. But in California, I'm in Nevada, but I study California law because it's so cool. But even a prisoner doing a life sentence has a right to refuse medical treatment. So, you know, the first thing is, appears to me, is the EUA aspect of it. You have an absolute right to refuse it. So that's a statutory right. And then, and even if it was approved, it's not a vaccine. It's a treatment. And under California common law, that's absolute. So, okay, I'll hear you out the rest of your show. Thanks.
Yeah. So he's absolutely right on those issues. You know, it's just when you get into the courts, it's really unique in the court system. They really don't want to touch on any medical aspect of it because the judges just get overwhelmed. So they only want to look at case law, statutes, things like that. Like what
some,
he's talking
some
about.
Might say if they were smart enough to have been doctors, they would have gone to medical school instead of law school.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, he's right on all of his points, you know, and the whole thing with the EUA is that you have to have informed consent with that, which means because it's emergency use, that they have to give you all the pros and cons, things that can happen or could happen with it, and the benefits of it, right? And so by not doing that, they're not following the way that the EUA is codified into federal law. And the fact that they're not giving you informed consent, they can't force you to take an experimental drug. So,
all right, let's continue this on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening live virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola.
I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Public broadcast. This is Talk with John, here with John Knox of Firefighters for Freedom, an LA firefighter. All right, so you were finishing up. They can't force people to take drugs, even though they can kick, they can remove them from their job.
Yeah. So, you know, again, like the last gentleman was saying, with the EUA, the Emergency Use Authorization, when that was codified into federal law, there's certain things that have to be done. Because it's an experimental drug, they have to notify you that you're being put into a trial. They have to give you the pros and cons of the drug. And those of you, most people know now that, you know, the list of all the side effects and everything that should be in the pamphlet in there has not been put in there. And then they have to give you the option to opt out because it still is an experimental drug. And, you know, all of that stuff came about after, you know, World War II, Nuremberg trials and all of that. That basically you can't experiment on people. You can't force them into an experiment. You can't experiment on them without their knowledge. So those are the things that are important about the EUA. And again, none of that is being done. None of that has been done anywhere, you know? So it's a sham.
A total sham. All right. So we've got two more callers that you just keep on lining up for you, John. Okay. Let's go to the next caller, Andy in Texas. Andy, what's on your mind?
Hey, John, you know, being a firefighter and stuff, and you're quite aware of what the hell is going on, how many other firemen do you know that are aware of what's going on?
A lot. So we actually, we created our organization, and then we created a second one that is a national organization, and we have chapters across the U.S., and you know, we have people fighting this all over the U.S. I mean, in the fire service, especially, you know, a lot of the paramedics work through the fire service as well. So, you know, I mean, I've been a paramedic for 24 years and dealing with medicine and hospitals and all of that, you know, you have a pretty good sense of what's going on around you and around the world. So, yeah, it's, there's being pushback from all over the place. And, you know, some places you're getting much better response. And then others like LA, New York, you're not getting, you know, great response. I mean, the courts definitely did give New York that win, but then they appealed it. And so, you know, they're still off. And we'll see where that goes.
Hey, so, well, real quick, I just want to throw this in. So we were born in a society that was already created for us. You weren't born in a society that you got to create. We were born in a society that was created for us, and now we're living in a society that was created for us. And because of the movers and shakers, we've got all of this technology, and we've got all of this stuff that's, you know, and it's all been weaponized. The TV was weaponized. The phone is a weapon. Everything is a weapon. And now we're caught up in this web. I don't know, the World Wide Web. Now we're caught up in this, and everybody is stuck on stupid and stuff. But on the same token, people have forgot who they are. They're individual people in this world, and they're giving up their autonomy because they have been in this world with the TV, the phones, and all this stuff. They've been mind-scraped, if you will. And now they're stuck on stupid, thinking that everything that they see on the TV, the computer, and all this stuff is the real truth. And they're following suit with everybody else. Are we just a drone country? Or are we capable of getting out of this?
No, I don't think it's you say a drone country. I mean, it's this is worldwide what we're seeing. And in reality, I mean, yeah, you're right. We are autonomous individuals, but people have unfortunately do like what you said. You know, the television has been weaponized, right? We know the CIA through Operation Mockingbird, you know, went and it's called television programming for a reason, right? You sit in front of it and it programs you based on what they want you to think and believe. When you have the news media corporations, you know, that all of them are owned by six companies, well, then you're going to get propaganda. And so because people have become so used to, you know, fast food, microwaves, everything has been convenienced to make life easy. They've given up that critical thought. It's easier to come home and have a beer and sit in front of the TV and just veg out versus actually, you know, it used to be in the 1800s that we would go down to a pub, you know, and have a beer and have conversation. And that conversation, like what's happening on radio shows like John's here, you know, has been pushed aside into the alternative media section. Conspiracy theory, you know, which was termed by the CIA as well. So do I think we have the ability to get out of it? Absolutely. I think people are waking up and, you know, people really need to stop being scared to speak out, you know, stand up for what you believe. No one's going to come and rescue you. You have to be the change that you want to see. And by, you know, I mean, I travel around the country and I speak at events and stuff. And to me, giving people hope, I mean, I'm just like everyone else, you know, I'm no different. I get up in the morning, I put one leg in one pant and the other, and I brush my teeth and so on and so forth. And so I'm nothing special. I've just taken a stance and said, no, I want to be a free human being. And be able to make decisions for myself. And so I speak out. And everyone has that ability to speak to your neighbor, you know, in your church, wherever it is, and bring some truth and open people's eyes. You don't need to ram it down their throat, but if you pull that thread and you ask a question and let them think about it, you know, then that's what starts the critical thinking process up again.
In today's world, John, but that's one of the sad thing about today's world is, taking a stand is something pretty unique. And maybe in some ways, especially if it goes against the norm, in many ways, it's been unique all throughout human history, but more unique now than it maybe has ever been in the history of time. Andy, thanks for your call. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
So I hurry and wrote down this note to myself so I wouldn't forget. Andy said, you know, you firefighters look into things and, you know, you've got some knowledge and some background. If I remember correctly, when we talked a while ago, you guys were starting to keep statistics about some adverse effects that have happened with the firefighters. Are you guys at the point yet where you're ready to let that information out and be shared?
Yeah, I've been working on that kind of. So we created our own VAERS report, Vaccine Adverse Effects Report. You know, the government, U.S. government has that VAERS report that they created. And, you know, they say that, you know, in all the doctors and everyone that I speak to and deal with in this arena, that it's anywhere from only 1 to 10% of all the vaccine injuries are reported. So, you know, when you look at those numbers in the VAERS report, you know, they look like big numbers, but that's only 1 to 10%. So you could really tenfold that to see what the true numbers are. In our department, you know, we were asking questions and nobody could give us answers. Nobody knew the answers. So we started our own internal VAERS report because we were seeing, we had people coming to us. We had firefighters coming to us saying, hey, I took this shot and now I'm having these issues. So, and the department's not doing anything for me. So we went ahead and yeah, we found that, I mean, that was back in October of last year that we started that. And in the first 2 weeks, I mean, we had 60 people that came forward. You know, and we don't, unfortunately, people are afraid to come forward because of repercussions, right? You know, they're afraid that they're going to be harassed inside of the department because they came forward. And so, you know, I think that's changing now as we're seeing more people injured. And now we're seeing all of these people, you know, sudden adult death syndrome, they call it, which is a joke. But, you know, people are dropping dead after getting these shots. You know, we see the all-cause mortality rise over the past 2 years since these things have been put out. We've never seen it in history. So the only thing that's different is these shots. You know, there's nothing else to correlate it to. So yeah, we do have that. We are working on trying to get that published as far as, you know, through like a medical journal, having someone who does those studies, because it's a very controlled group, right? You have usually a very healthy,
yeah, very controlled
section of the population, just like an athlete or whatever, right?
Have you given that information to Dr. Lee Merritt by any chance, or
no, I haven't.
Peter McCullough.
I've talked to Peter McCullough about it. I've talked to some other doctors. I haven't talked to Malone about it, but yeah, it's there. That's something that, you know, we'll be moving
another,
forward with.
Another individual that I don't know if you've spoken with, Jim Meehan, I think would be another one good for that.
I don't know who, that name doesn't ring a bell.
Okay. Well, let's do this. We've got three callers that are waiting to talk to you. Okay. I'd like to say they're waiting to talk to me, John, but I don't think that's the case. So I'd like to put my ego and say, they're all about me. All right. So, Misty, Kansas, what's on your mind?
Okay. Hi, guys. Yeah, it's about you too, John. Both Johns. You know what it is? The people have been, they don't understand their authority. Okay, the Bill of Rights gives us our authority. The government are our servants. The Bill of Rights are our laws. Now, as far as taking that COVID shot, any shot, it's against the fourth article of the Bill of Rights. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. When they are forcing you, trying to compel you through your job to take a vaccine, it's not a vaccination, we know that, they are seizing your person. That's a violation of the supreme law of the peoples,
That's part of where they claim it's not a force. You can choose to work here or you can choose not to. The thing that I hate about the way the government handles this, the left especially, the leftist-leaning parts of the government is, they're more than willing to say, we can force you. Right up until it becomes something they can turn against us conservatives and say, well, no, you don't have a right to your job. Well, actually, you could say that John does. It's kind of codified in their law. But, Misty, that's one of the things they use.
Oh, I didn't know, and I understand that. But then, okay, you go back, then go into the ninth article. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Okay? The others are the Bill of Rights. They're denying your God-given inalienable rights by doing this.
So, but then they can claim, well, the Tenth Amendment, it's left to the states. Misty, I'm going to let him answer this question. Please forgive us. We need to move on, but great point, Misty. Let me be clear. I am very much on your side. I'm just playing the other side because the other side doesn't even want to call in and talk about this. All right. Misty, thank you. John, your thoughts?
Yeah. And she's absolutely right. I mean, I agree with her 100%. You know, unfortunately, a lot of times the courts don't see it right that way. You know, they don't practice constitutional law anymore. They practice case law. So, you know, now they'll dig through all these different cases and they try and point out all these different, well, see here, it happened in this. And I don't agree with that. I agree with, you know, constitutional law. But she is right. And, you know, one of the things that's frustrating is like, okay, you know, you said the whole thing that they have a right to do that. You can either work here or not. That's your choice, right? With us, what's interesting is, I mean, I have a contract with the city that states what my terms and conditions of employment are. And that was, you know, brought in through the union and they renegotiate our contract every couple of years or whatever. And nowhere in there does it state that I have to take a shot, that I have to wear a mask, that I need to test, that I have to do all of these things. And so, again, you know, it's, now they're violating not only constitutional law, but they're violating contract law, all of these other things, and they don't care. They literally just keep pushing forward. In private business, it's super easy, right? If you and a group of your people in a private business, let's say 10% of the company or 15% of the company are like, absolutely not, we're not doing that. You can strike. You walk out. Guess what? That guy is going to have a huge problem trying to replace that workforce. And so the people have the power in that instance. Me personally, And the firefighters, I can't do that. It's against the law for me to strike. I took an oath, right, to the Constitution and to the people of the city of Los Angeles. And so for me to strike violates my oath and my contract, and I can't do that. So I have to do it another way, which is...
And the dirty, rotten rats in your labor union won't stand up for you. John, let's move to Patty, and then we've got one more caller after Patty. Patty in Florida, what's on your mind?
A really quick question. Wow, this is wonderful, because Dr. Richard Fleming, gave a testimony about these shots being poisonous, that he said, yes, you could bring it before any court of law, and his credentials are, like, you know, off the charts. My question to you, though, is, do you think this is a declaration of war, denying you the right to earn a living? But more important, you, as a rescue worker, firefighter, if you knew there was a burning building with a bunch of kids in it, and you had one of these, a liberal firefighter chief, who said it's not safe for you to go rescue those kids, would you? Would you listen to the chief, or would you follow your instincts to rescue those kids, regardless of, you know, obviously, being a rescue worker, you take into account all of those variables before you would go, because you want to succeed in rescuing the kids. That's my question. As a human being, as a God-given person, and you shouldn't have to prove your religion or not, but as a rescue worker, please answer that. And I'll go. I want to hear your answer on the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty.
Do I consider it a declaration of war? I mean, it's a war on humanity, really, right now, on the sovereignty of your God-given freedom to be free, to make your own choices. So from that standpoint, yeah, I feel that it's definitely a war on our sovereignty. And as far as the other aspect of, you know, yeah, we always evaluate everything, risk versus gain. And in the career that I'm in, I mean, it's definitely a risky career, but we make those calculated decisions. And, you know, if there's life trapped inside of a building that's on fire, I'm going to do everything in my power to, you know, get as many people out of that building, or, you know, whatever ways that I can to mitigate that problem and save as much life, because it's life property, you know. Property is always replaceable, but human life is not. And, you know, that's one of the oaths that I took, was to protect and defend. So it's no different than in the military, you know. You're going to go out and you go to war, and, you know, you're put into some very uncompromising positions that you have to deal with, whether it's in a firefight or whatever, you know. So it's, yeah, that's what we signed up to do, and that's what we do. You know, it's no different. I mean, in COVID, when COVID first started, right, we had no idea. Nobody knew what was going on. And now you're going into people's homes who are sick and ill, and there's, you know, there's no shot. There's no, the PPEs were stretched thin. We didn't know what we needed to do in the beginning. And until we figured out what was going on, you know, we created best safe practices to try and mitigate that. But we still went and helped and did everything that we were supposed to do.
John, we appreciate you being there. The watchman on the tower, the breach, and the, you know, breaching the door. Thank you for being there. All right, last person up, it looks like. This is the last caller that we're going to take. Truck driver Ray in Utah, what's on your mind?
Hey, John and John. Thanks for taking my call. And I have to say that this war, you know, between power and control and governments and ruling, you know, it's been going on at least 6,000 years. And I think it comes down to our situation. It's education about personal rights and constitutional rights. I mean, the last 40, 50 years, 60, how we've been educating the kids in America, and now the leaders don't even understand the Constitution. So you know, I've divided it up into three ways, okay? So, they, you know, not in the schools, people not knowing the history of liberty and freedom versus tyrannical governments, you know, especially the history of the United States of America, and really getting down to the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers. Okay, the second one would be U.S. law, and that's constitutional law and case law, like you already mentioned. And then the last one, you know, is worker rights. You know, there's a huge history of workers' rights. So you've got all these forces coming into play and medical rights. So we're in a real mess, you know, between very few people have a functioning knowledge of Constitution and the history of what happened in founding of this country.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%.
Thank you, truck driver Ray.
Thank you, John.
I'd agree with him 100%. You know, again, he's pretty much right on the money as far as the timing, too. Over the past 60 years is when it's really accelerated, you know. And, I mean, when you do things like you take, you know, cursive out of school, right? Kids don't know how to write cursive. Well, there's a reason for that. I mean, I was standing in D.C. in front of the Declaration of Independence in complete and utter awe. And I've got young gentleman standing next to me, and he's like, what does that say? I can't even read it. It looks like a foreign language because he doesn't know what cursive writing is.
You think that might be programmed from us?
Man, you're being well, I don't know. Not quite sure how to put that. You're being
programmed or deprogrammed, but that's figured that they're doing. That's baked into the cake.
Yeah.
This has been John Knox joining me on Talk with John. I'm your host, John. John Knox, thanks for joining me, brother. God bless you. Have a great Sabbath. Thank you for standing in there, hanging in there. I hope you stay there, and I hope you win. Bottom line.
I will. Thank you very much.
Eventually we win, but let's hope it makes it a little bit easier. All right, folks. It's been Talk with John. Everybody have a great Sabbath. Have a great weekend. Thank you for joining me.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.